this is your friend John Walden. I do appreciate your being here regularly to study the Bible with us, and I hope you're getting enough help from it that you want to tell your friends and neighbors about it, too. I'd like to have a little Bible study with you on an Old Testament type that has to do with the New Year. You know, our Bible has a great many things to say about the New Year. There are several stories in the Old Testament about a new year, a new beginning. Noah had a new year. He began on the first day of the year when he came out of the ark, but his new year was spoiled. It failed because he failed. I hope you're not depending on yourself and your new year's resolutions to be better this year. I hope you know your need of the Lord Jesus. The story I've chosen is one from the 12th chapter of Exodus, and this is the story of a new year. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, actually, it was April, and the civil new year for the Jews began, still does, begin in September. But the Lord said, we're going to start all over new. You've been slaves. You've been down in Egypt under Pharaoh's bondage. You've been groaning because of your own sins and failures. Now we're going to start all over new. We're not going to turn over a new leaf. We're going to have a new life. It's not going to be a resolution. It's going to be regeneration. Now, these people were in desperate need, and they were crying out to God. I wish we could find some people like that now. Maybe I am speaking to someone just now who's saying, you don't know how desperately I need the Lord. Well, let me tell you some good news. Anyone who realizes his need of God will soon find out that God realized it long before him, and that he has done something about it. Now, these people in Egypt were under sentence of death. The destroying angel was going to pass through the land that night, and the Lord said that the only people who would be spared would be those who had blood sprinkled on the outside of their door, over the top of the door, and along the two sides. So he told these people to take a substitute, and that substitute was to be a lamb. Now, many times in the Old Testament, we have a lamb used as a picture of the Lord Jesus. And in the New Testament, he is introduced by John the Baptist when he said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So we're perfectly within Scripture when we say, the Lord Jesus came to be God's sacrifice lamb. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So this Old Testament story of the Passover day is a God-given picture of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Now, these people were told that when they took the lamb, they must take a lamb without blemish and keep it up 4 days to find out that it was without blemish. And the Lord Jesus was a lamb without blemish. 1 Peter 2:22 says he did no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says he knew no sin. And 1 John 3:5 said he had no sin. Hebrews 7 tells us that he is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. The Lord Jesus had no blemish. I had many of them. So have you. But we have a substitute who took our place at the cross, who was perfect. And God accepts his sacrifice in our place. But some responsibility rested on these people, and some rest on us. First of all, they said, they should take every one of them a lamb. Did you ever take God's lamb? When you say, why would I need to? Well, because God gave him as a gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, To them gave he the right to become the children of God. So God's gift will not be a gift to you until you're willing to receive him. Then they were to sprinkle the blood. Now with us, this is an act of faith. When I take Christ as my Savior, God counts that the blood has been sprinkled in my case. He then becomes my substitute, and I'm perfectly safe. Now, it was not their good works that made these people safe. Nobody was safe because he was good. No one could pin to the outside of his door a statement of his fine life and expect to be spared. And no one is saved by his good works today. Scripture abounds in verses telling us that it's not by our own doings, but by God's grace. Then after the blood was sprinkled, they were to have a feast. They were going to leave Egypt that night. This happened about midnight. And shortly afterward, they were all going to march out of Egypt. They were no longer going to be a part of Egypt, which is a type of the world. And those who were saved by God's grace ought to be on their way out of Egypt too. We ought not to be a part of this world system. Now they were to be eating the roast lamb. That means to be feeding on Christ. And when we say feeding on Christ, we simply mean appropriating Christ for our daily needs. I need comfort, so I come to the Lord Jesus and find him comforting. I need someone to restore me when I've gotten away, so I come back to him and find that he is my shepherd who restoreth my soul. I come to him for everything and find him always all I need. I mean, this is what I should do, and this is what you should do. The Lord Jesus, then, is to be the food for the Christian. We're to appropriate him not only as the one who died for us, but as our high priest, as our advocate to restore us when we get away from him, and as our coming bridegroom, we need to be enjoying and looking forward to seeing him again. Now the Lord said that the people were to eat this lamb in a certain way. This is what he said in verse 11. Thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now with their loins girded meant that they were ready to travel. With their shoes on their feet meant that they were ready for the journey. We are to have on our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And they were to be ready to leave. Now, some Christians are not acting very much like they're ready to leave Egypt. They're pretty well settled down. They love this world too much. They're trying to accumulate too much of it. They're calling real estate what God is calling just kindling for the fire that's to come. All of these things, the earth and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Now, don't buy a share in a burning building, Christians. Let's be living as though we expected to go out of all this. Another thing about the way these people were to eat. They were to eat this lamb with the unleavened bread. Verse 15 says, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Now, unleavened bread has nothing to do with what we use in the Lord's Supper. It had to do with this feast because it had a ceremonial significance. By that I mean, unleavened bread was to help the people to understand that they were not to have any sin in their heart or in their lives. So they were to put this leaven out of their houses, and they were not to eat it from the first day until the seventh day. Now, from this time on, every time you read of the annual feast called the Passover, and this became a feast that they celebrated, or should celebrate, they forgot it sometimes, just like we forget the Lord's Supper. Some of the Lord's people can neglect this without much, without being very conscience-stricken about it. But they should not have done it. Whenever they did celebrate the Lord's Supper, they were to have the unleavened bread with it. Now, let me speak very plainly. I do not believe in salvation by works. The Bible doesn't teach it. I believe that we're saved purely and solely by grace. I believe that we are saved through the finished work of Christ, and that my entire salvation and future happiness depends upon what Christ has done and is doing for me. But I believe that any person who is really saved, as James says, will show his faith by his works. I do not have much use for a profession of faith that leaves the life untouched, and I don't believe God has. Is your life filled with leaven? Is your life filled with things that ought not to be in a Christian's life? Have you failed to cut off some of those bad habits and worldly ways? And are you still covetous and living for this life? And you've missed something. Now they were to keep this feast for 7 days. Let me suggest for Christians that if you keep 3 days before the Lord's Supper and 3 days after the Lord's Supper, and you take the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week as the Lord asks us to, you're not going to have any days left with leaven in them. And isn't that the way it ought to be? Shouldn't our lives as Christians be clean? Shouldn't we live lives of holiness? Doesn't God expect us to live in a way that will bring honor to this Savior who has done so much for us? You don't begin the new year by resolutions. You don't begin the new year by regrets over the past. You begin the new year by turning to the Lord in acknowledgement of your need of Him and receiving Christ as your Savior. You believe that the blood has been sprinkled. And just as the blood made them safe, so you're safe through the work of Christ. Just as the Word of God made them sure, so you are sure, not by how you feel, but because the Word of God says so. And just as they left the leaven out of their lives and were ready to leave Egypt, so you and I should live lives that are clean and honoring to Christ. Our Father, we ask you to bless these thoughts. Save those who are not yet saved and help thy dear people to turn back to thyself and to put away things that are displeasing to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.